Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
Not too much. We also have our other co-host on the line, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm feeling better than I did last week.
That's good.
Had to cancel the show because I was sick as a dog, but I'm slightly better now. So, and then we're doing the show tonight because tomorrow, at the normal time, I will be live at the ROH pay-per-view. And will you be watching that live, Craig, on pay-per-view?
Probably not live, but it is on the agenda for sometime this weekend.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure Couture
is that on a real pay-per-view? Is that on a real pay-per-view? Or like
actually, yes, it is.
Oh, well, I probably still won't watch it, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing the show tonight instead, and we will be joined here in a few minutes by, I have a hard time saying his last name, so I'll let Craig tell us who, tell you who's going to be on our show today.
Does Craig know?
He tweeted about it. He should know.
He just dropped off the line.
He got that scared of pronouncing this guy's name that he hung up.
Yeah, he,
that's crazy.
He intimidated him. He didn't know what to do. That's first.
Craig, are you so intimidated about saying our guest's name that you had to hang up?
I don't know what happened there. That was that was weird.
All right, well, tell everyone our guest's name because I don't know what his last, how to say
okay.
His last name.
It's his first name's Chris, and his last name
that.
Is... Dave Petrillo.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't know who that is, he is the man who is behind the ROH action figures and also the upcoming Legends and Newcomers action figures. And he was on a show before. He was a good guest. And we'll be talking about all the action figures and other past action figures and just other stuff in general. He is a big fan. And I will go ahead and call him right now, so I'll let you guys chatter among yourselves for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be back.
Sounds good. Hey, Couture. It's been a couple of weeks. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I am plain. Mostly because nobody would listen.
I see.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Excited for the pay-per-view this weekend?
Yeah, actually, I am.
I think it's going to be okay.
You should be okay.
Been a lot of talk about that third member. I'm curious as to who that's going to be.
I figure somebody like Kane or something.
Oh, I hope you're wrong. I really hope you're wrong.
It just seems like time for him to come back, and he would come back and be on somebody's side that he has not been on for like 2 years. So, and against people that he's been feuding with for like 2 years too. So, it just seems like
hey,
in the world.
Craig, go ahead and introduce our guest, please.
I'd be happy to, Ed. You know, they say the difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toys. Well, I've been to this man's website, and his toys are actually pretty reasonable. Please welcome to the show the chief marketing officer at Figures Toy Company, Chris DiPartolo. How did I do?
You did very good second time around. I'll give you a little clap for that one. That was a good one.
Thank you, sir.
How are you guys tonight?
Well, how are you?
Doing really good. Keeping busy, as I'm sure you guys have seen on social media with everything that's been going on, both work-wise and family-wise.
Yes, how is that youngster?
He's doing really well. You know, I'm sure you guys saw that we had a little bit of a surprise that he arrived 2 months early, but he's doing really well. His development is progressing just as if he arrived on time. He just went to bed a little while ago. He's eating like a champ. He's laughing. He's smiling. Best baby in the world. You know, I've got a little bit of a bias there, but he's doing really well.
Very cool.
Can I ask a question if it's not too personal? Why does he have to wear the helmet? Is that a permanent thing or just for a few months? Or what's going on with that?
That's just temporary. It's because he favors one side when he sleeps or sits, so it was kind of forming like a flat spot on his head. So the helmet will allow him to. He's in the helmet 23 hours a day right now, and he goes for follow-ups every 2 to 3 weeks. So what will happen is every time he goes for a follow-up, they actually take part of the foam composite that makes up the helmet, and they'll shave some out as he grows, just so his head will develop normally and round out normally instead of keeping that flat spot there.
Okay. I was just curious because I saw the photo you posted earlier today on Facebook.
Yep. Yeah, he's in it 23 hours a day now, but he pays no mind to it. You know, he doesn't even realize he has it on. You know, it doesn't affect him in any way. It's just so that his head will round out properly since he tends to lean to one side, and it was starting to flatten out a little bit of the back of his head.
Okay. Cool. That's good to hear that everything's good. Once again, Craig has dropped off the line here. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to go ahead and start with the big question right off the bat. Is it your fault that Vince McMahon is threatening to never hire someone from Ring of Honor again?
I don't know if I would call it my fault, but the Ring of Honor action figure deal has definitely contributed to a lot of the tension in the WWE locker room or in the WWE office. From what I've heard, you know, as you know, plenty of rumors fly around, but I do know that WWE was not happy with the fact that the Kevin Steen figure was coming out. And there was a lot of misinformation thrown out around that. I remember when the story first broke, they were saying that Kevin Steen himself directly signed a marketing deal with us, and it was for 5 years, and that the intention of our company was to capitalize on Kevin Steen debuting as Kevin Owens and beating John Cena, and that's why the figure was coming out. That is the furthest thing from the truth. If you remember when I joined you guys, you know, it was last year, it was last October, last November when we announced the Ring of Honor deal, that was just the formal announcement. Obviously, negotiations, contracts, and everything had gone into play long before we made a formal announcement. So at the time, Kevin was still a Ring of Honor talent, and at the time, he was at the top of the card. So he's a guy who was popular with the fan base, merchandise mover, you know, known draw. Of course, you're going to want him in the first series of figures. So we, you know, talked with Ring of Honor. It was up to me to determine the lineups. I worked with the Ring of Honor office on the best guys for that. Kevin's name was put into that slot long before he even left. So even though the figures didn't go into production until earlier this year, Kevin was always slotted for that spot. And when he jumped ship, when he went to WWE, we went through all the legal channels, talked with the lawyers, made sure, hey, you know, we're going to start production at this point. Can we still go ahead with him? And we had everything dated, timestamped, good to go on Kevin's team. We got the okay to do the go-ahead. And it was more WWE not realizing that Kevin had the deal for one reason or another, not realizing maybe that Ring of Honor had figures coming out at all. I can't speak for the people in the office with how much attention they're paying to other companies' merchandising deals. But I do know that WWE is not happy that Ring of Honor is getting action figures. I know they're not happy that a lot of the top indie guys are now signing with our company. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes in. Ring of Honor obviously is licensing their brand, their stars, to make these action figures, to make those replica belts. We are also doing a line of action figures for some of the top names on the indie scene, a lot of the guys from the modern era. Those guys are signing directly to the company to get the figures made. We've announced the Young Bucks, Chris Hero, AJ Styles, Brian Myers, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, Doc Gallows, Amber Gallows, Tama Tonga, Kenny Omega. They're all signed with us directly, and we're going to be releasing a whole wave of top indie names, and hopefully that line will continue well into the future, because I've talked to a lot of people that have interest in that. And we've got some Legends guys coming out as well. We've got the first Jim Cornette in 20 years coming out. We've got the Blue Meanie first ever figure, first ever Mikey Whipwreck figure, and then updated versions of New Jack and Just Incredible. A lot of ECW guys in that first wave. So WWE is not happy that there's another company out there kind of stealing the merchandise thunder, I guess you could say. I know that, the Mattel rights that they have to make toys, they obviously want to have guys that are going to be big sellers for them. And I have no doubt in my mind that a Mattel Kevin Owens will do very well. But right now, the focus is on these Ring of Honor figures. And WWE is thinking that this is all about capitalizing on guys that have been in WWE or have jumped to WWE. And there were rumors saying, they're going to make a Claudio Castagnoli, they're going to make a Seth Rollins. And if you guys remember the last time I was on with you talking about this, I actually specifically said the intention is not to do a guy who's been done, nor can you do a guy like Seth Rollins, because he's got a merchandising contract as part of his deal with WWE. His likeness can't be used anywhere else. There's a big difference between Ring of Honor owning footage to compile a DVD and selling the rights to a guy that is no longer there. Even a guy like El Generico, people have asked, hey, can you do Generico since Sami Zayn is Sami Zayn and doesn't use the costume or the mask or anything? Sami Zayn, whatever name he's using, is still a real human being who has a real contract with WWE. So there's not going to be any muddying those waters and trying to do an El Generico or getting away with that. We want, nothing to do with anyone in WWE for the simple fact that we're trying to bring something new to the table, not capitalize on something old or something that someone else is doing.
Do you think there's, a lot of rumors that, this has also led to, WWE targeting ROH, this weekend. There's two ROH shows here in San Antonio. I'm going to both of them. And on Saturday, there's just happens to be an NXT show also on Saturday. Are people giving you a hard time saying that you're also responsible for, for this or or what are your thoughts on just WWE's overreaction to the whole situation here?
I mean, it's the wrestling business. I mean, through the years, obviously, WWE, whether it was the NWA or WCW, even ECW to an extent, even though they had a working arrangement behind closed doors, I don't think it's so much us. I think it's kind of a combination of all factors. I think WWE sees the growth of Ring of Honor, the relationship with New Japan, the slot on Destination America, the fact that they're syndicated across the country. AJ Styles went back to Ring of Honor. He didn't go to NXT or WWE. The Young Bucks are the most popular act. The Bullet Club is the most popular act, and they have a relationship with Ring of Honor and appear for Ring of Honor, including this weekend. And then now they're expanding their merchandising. Before, Ring of Honor was just the T-shirt and DVD company. You buy a shirt at the shows, you grab a DVD, you order online, and that's that. Now that Ring of Honor is expanding those channels with us by getting the replica belts, by doing the action figures for the first time, I think that opened a lot of eyes in WWE's mind, and not for the better, because now they're seeing it more as competition, not necessarily with the in-ring or with the television broadcast, but now on the toy shelf, on the collector's market. It's the same thing with UFC. UFC showed up on television. They considered it competition, however loosely you want to take it. And notice that UFC didn't really have any action figures until WWE moved over to Mattel, and then Jack Specific took over and made UFC figures. So there's kind of always been that distancing of other organizations from WWE as far as merchandising. And to their credit, I can understand if I'm a company that is producing these characters, and whether it's for kids, for adults, whatever audience you're gearing to, PG era, Attitude era, whatever have you, you're going to want to have that novelty of having that first time guy. So obviously they were expecting, hey, we've got Kevin Owens, he's going to be a star for us, we're going to have the first ever figure. Obviously it's not happening that way for one reason or another. It's just that WWE, I think, takes things too personal, which it's business, and we've seen so many things happen through the years, and they are how they are. You know, it's nothing against my company. It's nothing against Ring of Honor. Like, I just think it's just the way that they do business and the way that they see business, and now it's led to this. But, you know, this could be, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn, but this could be a good thing. This could cause a lot of other organizations, be it Ring of Honor, be it PWG, be it New Japan, not to say that, you know, PWG is all of a sudden going to start booking 10,000-seat arenas or anything like that, but if there's this much worry that the indie scene is getting this merchandise, that Ring of Honor is getting this merchandise, maybe WWE will start focusing more on building NXT like they are. Maybe they'll start focusing more on the booking of the shows to get more interest. Maybe the indie scene as a whole will start booking more dream matches. Like, this could be maybe not a boom period, but just it could be another level of interest that draws more fans in, more fans back, or creates new ones.
Mm-hmm. Craig, go ahead, Craig.
On your site, it says for the ROH figures, it says coming soon. Do you have any more information on that?
We do expect to have some Ring of Honor products out for the holiday season or by year's end. We did post the sculpt of the Kevin Steen, the Adam Cole, and the Briscoes online. They are on our social media on Facebook. We also released the full figure prototype of the Michael Elgin figure. First ever Michael Elgin figure will be coming out. And we've confirmed and have the lineup for Series 2 already in production. So a lot of stuff is going to hit all at once. We don't have an estimated date only because they're coming from overseas, so dealing with, you know, factory timestamps and customs and all that stuff. But they are coming much sooner than later. We're going to have a few more announcements and reveals probably within the coming weeks. I work with Ring of Honor on that, talk to the guys in their office, so that's something I'll be coordinating with them. We also have been revealing sculpts slowly but surely for the indie guys and the legends. So if you guys have seen recently, I put up the new Brian Myers, who used to be Kurt Hawkins. I just put up his sculpt the other day. We've revealed the Joey Ryan sculpt, the Blue Meanie sculpt, just incredible. So we've been slowly introducing those to get the buzz going, and we are hoping to have some of those figures out again maybe by the end of the year, but that set will come after Ring of Honor. So you're probably looking at an early 2016 release. Just thinking ahead, I am at this point, I'll make an exclusive announcement here. We'll see which guys are listening that actually care. But as of right now, I will be joining you gentlemen in Dallas this year. And I'm hoping that we'll have a lot of stuff available for that weekend, because it'll be a big weekend for Ring of Honor. WrestleCon, any of these guys that are getting booked for those shows. As you guys know, and we talked about this last time, that's the perfect weekend to have merchandise available, because you're getting that international fan base all swarming you. So definitely some Ring of Honor stuff for then, absolutely. Definitely at least Series 1 and the Ring, which is going to come with a figure. Series 2 will probably follow maybe like spring, early summer next year, if I'm just, you know, rough estimating it. And we should definitely have some of the independent figures out early in the year. So looking for guys like Brian Myers, the Young Bucks, Joey Ryan, the new AJ Styles, which will be completely different from any of his TNA figures. Okay, we've got most of the Bullet Club locked up, so that was huge for us to be able to get most of those guys. You know, guys like Kenny Omega that have never had a figure, you know, especially a guy like him, which the fame that he has in Japan, that was a really good grab for us. And he was really cool because he actually collects a lot of the superhero stuff that you guys see on the Figures Toy Company website. So he's been really cool to talk to, because he's, you know, he's a video game guy, he's a collector, he's awesome. But, you know, all these guys that we're dealing with, you know, I know I spoke last time about how awesome the Ring of Honor office has been and how accommodating they were. They really went out of their way earlier this year when my son was born and we were doing his nursery. Obviously, I want to give him a little taste of daddy's fandom and the stuff that daddy's into. And I built one of the ROH replicas. I got the classic title that you know, Tyler Black used to have, Samoa Joe, and we're going to mount it on his wall. And I just asked the office, I said, hey, if I send this to you, have a couple of the guys sign it, just kind of something cool. I'll put it in a case, or I'll put it on a display for my son and put it in his room. And they said, well, we'll do you one better. Come on out to Philly, come and meet everybody, get some FaceTime. You know, it's one thing to deal with you on the phone and the email, but come out, we'd like to meet you. And they actually had me out to the New Japan shows in Philly, both shows. Got to meet everybody. Yeah, everybody was really cool, be it the guys that I work with on developing the line or the wrestlers themselves. Got introduced to everybody from New Japan, and just everybody was so nice, like really, you know, took their time out, a couple of minutes. They all signed the strap of the belt for little Zach. So he has a replica title belt, which was signed by pretty much the entire Ring of Honor roster and everybody from New Japan that came to America for those shows.
So now, just speaking of, like, the action figures, way back in the day when G.I. Joe, when you could buy G.I. Joe action figures, you could buy the figures and save the points on the back, and you could order a special order of Cobra Commander. It was only available that way. Have you thought about doing something like that where if they, like, buy in the action figures, they can order a special edition, and you could have it where it's like the Young Bucks, and have if they get enough points, they can order Uncle Dave Meltzer to join the Young Bucks or something like that.
With the Meltzer Driver Everybody shirt on?
Yeah.
No, we've definitely thought about exclusive and stuff. You know, if you look at the Batman figures or the Kiss figures, we've done a lot of variants and limited editions. We've never done anything as far as the mail away, because obviously now everything is, you know, let me order online, let me pay through PayPal, let me get it. So we have thought about doing a lot of online exclusives, you know, exclusives only to our site. We also have a lot of partners that buy wholesale. So some of the superhero figures that we do, you know, Entertainment Earth or Big Bad Toy Store, guys like that, we might make a figure exclusively for them, limit it to 500 or 1,000, and you can only get it on their site. And we'll advertise it, and we'll give them promotion and vice versa. So we've definitely thought about doing that too, especially with guys like the Young Bucks, who have a plethora of outfits that we could dress them in. I know that the first Young Bucks that we're doing, the initial debut ones, they're going to have the Young Bucks money print tights. That'll be the outfit that they have. The guys with the Bullet Club, we can't market them in Bullet Club gear because Bullet Club is a New Japan trademark, and the deal is with the talent, not with New Japan. So we are going to market them as the Biz Quiz. We can use that, and that's what they've been using a lot on indie shows and whatnot. So we're going to market them that way. But there's definitely room for variety. You know, a guy like AJ Styles, we're going to focus on doing his current look with the longer hair and the beard. But we could do a throwback AJ Styles, surely. You know, Young Bucks could do them in different outfits. There's a lot of ways that we could do exclusives. Tama Tonga was another guy that I forgot to mention initially, another guy from the Bullet Club, and that'll make a cool-looking figure having the face paint and everything. So There's a lot of ways that we could definitely go about it. Same thing with Ring of Honor. With Ring of Honor, we're going to have the first batch of figures, and then, like I said, the second series was in production. I did talk to the office about who they're looking at putting in Series 3 and 4. It'll be another wave of brand-new guys, you know, top Ring of Honor names. I don't want to give out any spoilers because that'll come when formal announcements come. But there's going to be a lot of new figures coming from them, and there's a lot of guys interested in having figures made. So whether it's an exclusive 2-pack or, you know, doing Michael Elgin with the mullet as opposed to the shaved head, there's so much variety. You know, there's been so much history in Ring of Honor, and you know, it's like I said, it's not always about the guys that have been there or the guys that have left. And, you know, even if we could do a Daniel Bryan or a Tyler Black or anything like that, you know, again, I don't want to speak out of turn, but it's like, what's the point when there's been so many figures of them right now? Like, if Ed and Craig and myself all went to Target right now while we're on the phone and said, all right, let's see who they've got for WWE figures, I could guarantee you you'll probably find at least a Daniel Bryan in every store and at least a Seth Rollins in every store. So what's the point in releasing a rehash figure when there's never been an Adam Cole, when there's never been the Briscoes, when there's never been Red Dragon or Roderick Strong, or, you know, even if you're looking at older guys like Nigel McGuinness or Delirious, you know, that's the kind of guys that we want to focus on and get the fans excited for. We want to fill holes in the collection, not rehash guys that have already been collected by fans.
Well, I wouldn't mind a rehash of Daniel Bryan and the Wizard cape.
That would be an awesome figure. I mean, with the shaved head and the clean cut and everything. From a fan perspective and a collector's perspective, I'll agree. There's a lot of awesome figures that we could do. You know, if Cesaro wasn't in WWE, the perfect option would be to do an old school Claudio, because we've got the Chris Hero coming out, and then boom, you've got the Kings of Wrestling right there. And, you know, just from a fan perspective, I was always a fan of their matches. I was always a fan of that team. So, you know, there's definitely guys that I'd love to do. But just obviously between who's under contract where and then budget constraints and having so many figures in production. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, you guys have seen all the various lines that we do. We've got the Kiss figures. We've got all the DC Comics and the Batman 66. We are debuting Scooby-Doo. We're debuting Hanna-Barbera cartoon figures. We're doing the Monkees. So there's a lot of stuff coming on that end as well. But between Ring of Honor and the Independents and the Legends guys, we've got about 25 figures in production right now. So there's going to be a big hit of wrestling figures coming. I mean, usually when Mattel or the old Jax figures would do a line, it would be, you know, six at a time, maybe eight at a time. You've got these figures, and granted, they're going to hit kind of one set after another. But to have 25 in production right off the bat and have it be some of these names, this is definitely something that collectors are going to, you know, they should start saving up for, because I have no doubt in my mind, not just, you know, the novelty of getting that first Kevin Steen figure, but these first-time Adam Coles, first-time Briscoes, the Young Bucks, these are guys that are going to do really well online. These guys, you know, they'll be at Ring of Honor shows. As far as the independent guys, they're going to be selling them at their shows. So, you know, if we're out in Dallas and Joey Ryan is booked for an indie show that weekend and Joey Ryan's at his gimmick table, Joey Ryan's going to have action figures to sell. And that, to me, is a big draw, because these are things that, you know, even if you're a hardcore fan, you're a guy that surfs the web and reads the sites that we read and tries to follow along with the news, you might not realize that there are all these new action figures coming out. You might have no idea that Figures Toy Company is doing it. And that's why I try to be proactive and do all these promotions. And a lot of the wrestlers have been really cool with getting the word out and tweeting about us and using social media to promote us. But, you know, you could still go sight unseen and not know. So seeing those figures at the gimmick table, that's a huge draw, especially at a big show or, you know, something like WrestleMania weekend, or if they do another SummerSlam thing, those major indie shows, we want these guys that are booked for those shows to have this merchandise to sell there. I think I mentioned it before, and I think I've mentioned it on my media as well. I kind of want it to be, the comparison is to pro wrestling tees with what they do. They started small, and now they have, you know, they're the go-to for the indie guys to get shirts made. Now I want these lines to be successful, because we've got Chris Hero, we've got the Young Bucks, so, you know, the next time we open up the budget and say, hey, we're going to do some more indie figures, then maybe we can grab Ricochet, maybe we can grab AR Fox, maybe we can grab Angelico and Jack Evans. You know, maybe this will lead to licensing. Maybe New Japan will give us a call and say, hey, let's work out a deal with New Japan. I mean, how awesome would it be to do a Jushin Liger figure or a Nakamura? And those would go hand-in-hand with ROH. If Lucha Underground comes back, those guys are tailor-made to be action figures. So it's opening the door to a lot of possibilities. So this could go either way. You know, the line could be successful, and that could be that. You know, we could just focus on Ring of Honor and focus on the figures that we've got, or it could boom, and we could be getting calls from everywhere. I mean, I've gotten emails from a lot of talents. I've met a lot of guys face-to-face. You know, I'm very fortunate that I'm in the Northeast, so we have a lot of very popular indies. There's Beyond Wrestling, which is based out of Rhode Island. There's the XWA, which is a local federation, but they have a working relationship with the Ring of Honor. Hanson is actually their world champion right now. The Kingdom and Maria. Maria and Mike Bennett actually live here. They live about 10 minutes from me. So there's a strong Ring of Honor and a strong independent presence where I'm at. So to go to these shows and meet some of these guys, it's really fruitful to me, because I get to see people's reactions. And honest, everyone that I've talked to, whether it's the guys that we've signed or the people that we've approached, I could count on one hand the number of people that just weren't interested or decided against it for one reason or another. So going back to that WWE question about how is this affecting everything, I don't think it's affecting it as strongly as it's being blown up to be, because I've talked to people that weren't interested for a reason different than WWE. It just wasn't in their, you know, it just wasn't in their mind to have it done. On the flip side, I've talked to people that even after this WWE news broke and all this stuff started coming out, they're still excited about the potential of having their own action figure. So it's definitely gone either way, but the negative reaction, if you could call it, I could count on one hand the number of talents that were just kind of like, I'm going to pass for now, or, you know, there was a case where someone didn't respond at all. But it's the nature of the beast. You know, you can't do business with everybody. But I also think that once these figures hit and people see the popularity that they gain, I think we're going to get a lot of wrestlers being proactive and hitting us up again and wanting to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you have some upcoming ROH figures that will be coming up. Let's just say one of them happens to be Dalton Castle. Would you sell him as a combo pack with the boys, or would you have to buy the boys separately?
It would probably be Dalton on his own, although that's the perfect idea to do an exclusive online set or a mail away or whatever have you. Do the three pack. You know, you only have to make one boy figure and just duplicate it because, you know, just stick them both in there. just from a fan perspective, I think that figure would be amazing to do. You guys have seen the details on, like, the Kiss outfits and even the detail on Elgin's outfit. I'm sure you've seen that picture. To be able to do the Peacock outfit, that would make – I just think that figure would be great in a display. So Dalton Castle is definitely on my radar to do. He's not in Series 2. You know, you guys have seen the lineup for Series 1. He's not in Series 2. I'm hopeful that we can do him soon in the future because – I like him personally as a fan. I get a kick out of the character. You know, I keep up on Ring of Honor, not just for business purposes. I'm a fan going way back. So I think he'd be awesome to do. If we could do him in some type of pack with the boys or even a two-pack with just one boy, I think that would be really cool to do. So the possibility is there. You know, that's something that I can definitely brainstorm with them about. Ultimately, final decision is up to ROH. I could throw ideas at the wall, you know, till I'm blue in the face. But they've been really cool about all the suggestions and kind of working with brainstorming and coming up with stuff. So Dalton's definitely on the radar. Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
I've been off and on collecting toys since I was young, just be honest. And I noticed that, on some of the, toys, like you get a case of figures. Back in the day when I was reading comics, Spawn from McFarlane, who does amazing toys, they would have, like, per case, there would be, like, two figures of each, and then there would be the one that was only one per case. Do you guys do things like that where there's a limited run on a certain figure or... there's a smaller amount, it makes it more collectible, things like that, or variants, or is that something that you'd be doing with the wrestling figures?
We do that. The way that we do that, with our factory cases, everything is an even assortment only because those cases are also wholesaled out. So we don't want to, we don't want to tinker with the business of any of our partners that are buying wholesale and be like, okay, well, here you go, here's your set. And, you know, if you're a business built on pre-orders and you only get, you know, say you get 50 cases and you've got 100 pre-orders for a figure and that's the figure that's one per case, you know, we kind of shot it in the foot. So we don't do anything like that. We do variants and exclusives that are either available for a limited time on our website or through other sites. Dukes of Hazzard Series 3 was available only at Entertainment Earth, and it was a set of all variant figures. You know, it was the Boss Hog in the Black outfit, the Dukes in the Racer outfits. Same thing with the Batman 66 line. We have an exclusive set, again, at Entertainment Earth, and it's the Dick Grayson when he tried to join the gang and had the leather jacket, Alfred with the apron, and that was actually the first Alfred that came out. The regular Alfred will be out relatively soon in Series 4. So we definitely do what we can with the variants, because variants, you know, being a collector yourself, variants were always the draw. You know, whether it was the action figures or collecting cards or comic books, the variant covers, the chase cards, things like that. It's definitely good business to do it. We do it in a limited fashion, but it's always been something that's been successful for us, and that's something that I hope to transition over to the wrestling lines, going back to just, you know, whether it's a different outfit or a different hairstyle. It's definitely something that we could put in with the Ring of Honor guys. Same thing if we took, you know, you mentioned Dalton Castle. So Dalton's feuding with Silas Young right now. Silas Young, another guy that's not available in any of the Ring of Honor sets coming up so far. We could do a Dalton versus Silas 2-pack. And instead of putting it in with the actual series, we could have that be an online exclusive. You know, we've made 1,000 of these. This is your only way you're going to get Dalton and Silas Young. So that's an option, too. It's also an option to do... you know, you could take Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole, and you could package them with a ladder and a bunch of weapons and build it around their match from Final Battle last year. You know, we did that a lot with Jax, with WWE. We had a great relationship with them, and that actually goes to what you were saying about the cases, too. When we had a relationship with Jax getting the toys, Jax would actually allow me to decide the amount of figures we would get per guy. So we would get what they call straight cases instead of getting the assortment. So let's say Jack did a set and it was, say it was 2006 and Jeff Hardy just came back and it was the first Jeff Hardy that they were doing. Well, I could get 500 Jeff Hardy sent to me if I needed them. But if it was the 10th John Cena figure, I could say, all right, well, we only need 100 John Cenas because we've got nine more on the shelf already.
Right.
So that, that always worked out really well. We just aren't able to do it because we have so many people buying wholesale. But they also allowed us to do exclusives, and the arrangement that we had with them is that we would do a brand new figure for the first quarter. The second quarter would be a repaint or a rehash of a figure that had been previously released. And you would think that a previously released figure might not translate well. It's a guy that's already been done. But some of our biggest successes were guys that had been previously released. We did a classic Superstars Fantasy Match 2-pack, and it was a Bret Hart figure with the classic IC title. It was Jeff Hardy with the current IC title and a ladder, because both of them were known for having ladder matches. And that 2-pack sold out faster than the exclusive Mickey James that we had her first ever figure. So it's just kind of amazing sometimes that it's all in how you package it, it's all in how you promote it, and it also depends on the popularity of the star. But that 2-pack sold, and those were guys that had both been made 10 times over by that point. So it's definitely something, again, it's all stuff that I bring to the table, whether it's my own personal beliefs, whether it's something Ring of Honor mentions to me, or I love getting the reactions from the guys that I talk to or the fans, whether it's friends commenting on Facebook or fans replying to us on Twitter. I take everything into consideration. There's definitely a lot of social media and a lot of the collectors from the message boards and Reddit. Like, I try to be as accessible as I can be. And all that feedback, just kind of goes into the pot and take it to the boss, and we see what we can do. A lot of people tend to think, oh, well, they can do this, this, and this. And, my company is not Mattel. We don't have $5 billion behind us. We've got some pretty good resources, but we can't just go making brand-new designs and brand-new body types and all these things that collectors bring up. And I get why they bring it up. But I think we're doing a really good job with everything that we've got so far, and there's a lot to look forward to.
I mentioned maybe possibly talking to New Japan, and they're a little different in Japan. And if you ever watched when the Kingdom is on New Japan, they like to basically focus more than half the match on Maria's butt.
Yes.
Like, let's say, would you guys consider like selling something exclusive to Japan, where basically it's not a bust of her head, but a bust of her butt? You know what I mean?
Well, we're not in the, and based on what you're saying, this is going to sound weird, we're not in the bust business. But I mean, with New Japan, obviously, Maria, we're doing Amber Gallows in the indie line, so the Bullet Babe, the wife of Doc Gallows. So I think that with New Japan, I think that the fact that we're doing the people that are wrestling for them directly, be it Doc Gallows, Amber Gallows, Tama Tonga, Kenny Omega, or doing the ROH people, I'm hopeful that it will open a lot of eyes. Like I said, I was able to meet some of the New Japan people briefly, but it wasn't for business or anything. It was just kind of a, I'm Chris, nice to meet you kind of a thing. It wasn't that I was pulling anyone aside or they were pulling me aside back in May. But, I mean, New Japan, their growth has been exceptional. They're expanding into the U.S. market. They're the perfect federation to do. People have said, would you do PWG figures or CZW or Evolve, which if the rumors are true about Evolve working with WWE, I don't think you would see anything branded with Evolve anytime soon. I think WWE would probably frown on that. But these are companies that don't have guys under a contract, so CZW can't say, hey, can you do a Nick Gage figure? When Nick Gage is just kind of an indie worker, kind of freelancing and doing his own thing. Ring of Honor obviously has exclusive contracts, and that's why we're getting the indie guys signed directly to us. So I'm thinking that doing guys like the Bullet Club guys, like the Young Bucks, doing Ring of Honor, I think it's kind of putting our foot in the water to see what else is out there to do. Branding with New Japan, or if Roots Underground comes back, just given the popularity of the first season, I think those would absolutely be routes that our company should take, whether it's for replica belts or for doing the action figures. We are bringing back the NWA replica title, so we're working with the NWA, which is another big step for us. We're a company that 2 years ago, we thought we were going to be out of the wrestling game. We did the WWE belts for so long. When they decided to take that in-house, we were just ready to focus on DC Comics and Warner Brothers and the Kiss figures and all that stuff. And you know, I mentioned it before the last time I was on, and by this point I'm sure most people know the story, but when I was able to get the deal with Ring of Honor and get my company to sign on, you know, that was just kind of out of left field. It was just something that I thought about given the popularity of doing those one-off figures for the Young Bucks, and now here we are making these figures. There's, you know, WWE took notice, you know, and, you know, they always say any publicity is good publicity. The fact that this blew up the way it did, it's definitely got more eyes on our product. Like I said before, there's probably more people that know about this Kevin Steen figure than anything, but that carries over to, hey, he's coming out with the first ever Adam Cole. He's coming out with the first ever Briscoes. So I think that it's not necessarily doing us harm. I think it's a good thing that things kind of blew up in a way, because it gets our name out there. It gets Ring of Honor more exposure. And I certainly don't want Ring of Honor to have negative exposure. And they did nothing wrong here. You know, everything, like I said, was within legal means on our end, on their end, on everyone's end. So WWE just has to realize there's someone else making merchandise out there. And at the end of the day, you know, they're still making money. They're still doing really well. So I think there's enough room in this business for everybody to enjoy themselves. And for these guys, you know, these independent guys, you know, guys like Joey Ryan, guys like the Young Bucks, you know, they might have gone their whole careers without ever having a figure. So to be able to give these guys this opportunity, and even a guy like Brian Myers or Cliff Compton, yeah, they were done previously, but they weren't done with their modern look. The only Cliff Compton figure you could get right now is when he was Domino. And Deuce and Domino was already, what, 8-9 years ago. So to be able to update these guys instead of having them on the indie scene selling a figure that's 10 years old that looks nothing like them anymore or looks different to their look now, is just really cool. It's really cool to be able to give these guys something new to sell. It gets their name out there. You know, I'm not saying that these figures will make everybody a household name and we're going to take over the world, but it's a step in the right direction, because now instead of just getting a T-shirt or a compilation DVD, if you're a kid that's making your dad take you to indie shows, or if you're a collector who loves the indie scene, if you're a hardcore collector, if you're a guy that has every figure, odds are you're a guy that follows Ring of Honor. You're a guy that follows the indie scene. You're a guy that enjoys Joey Ryan matches and Brian Myers matches and the Young Bucks. You're a completist. So we're adding to these existing collections. We're adding, you know, we're giving something to the existing fan base there. And I think they'll bring in some new fans as well. I think that people are going to be pretty surprised by what we're doing. It's all positive. Like, I don't see anything negative about it, despite what WWE might have you think.
Hmm. Now, to get off of wrestling figures, I grew up pretty much, my childhood was in the 70s and 80s, and today I went back and watched one of my favorite cartoons from back then, and that was the Star Avengers, and that's one of the cartoons that kind of inspired the Shogun Warrior toys. Do you guys do anything like regarding like the Shogun Warriors or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. The main focus is the DC Comics characters. All of our retro figures are inspired by Mego. Mego was the top toy maker of the 70s. They did a lot of the old school superheroes and a lot of the TV character licenses. So that's why we have them in that style. You know, the first wave of Kiss was kind of a repro of the original Kiss figures. We've then expanded on that and done our own Kiss figures with new designs. Same thing with the DC Comics figures. You know, we did like the old school retro 70s looking figures and then started doing Batman 66. And we've got a Flash Wave coming out, Wonder Woman coming out. So we don't have anything going on. I don't want to say anime. Like, I know what you're talking about. Nothing in that direction. It's kind of a pretty simple design to follow the retro figure formula, basically focusing on the comic books from the Golden Age and the Silver Age, or the TV shows, or, you know, the 70s and 80s, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard, Evel Knievel. It's kind of going back that far, you know, that era of your childhood, but basically just sticking to kind of the pop culture icons or the more, I guess you could say, notable characters, you know, the Superman waves and the Batman waves and things like that.
Now, speaking of the Dukes of Hazzard, when you guys make a General Lee, is the General Lee going to have the Confederate flag, or because of, like, the what was going on a few months ago when everybody was up in arms about the Confederate flag? We
won't be making the General Lee because we don't have the licensing to do the car. There's another company that makes the cars.
Oh, okay.
So we actually can only do the figures. And, you know, because the Confederate flag was only on the car, you know, you can see the side of the car on our package art, but you can never see the top of it. You know, I understand what people are saying about the flag, but like a lot of things this day and age, like, you know, we talked about WWE's overreaction. I think just in society in general, sometimes there's a lot of overreaction. you know, but there was nothing that would affect the Dukes of Hazzard wave with us. I think that the toy maker that makes the General Lee agreed to make future versions without the flag on there. You know, I understand why people have the beliefs about the flag that they do, but, you know, I grew up watching the Dukes of Hazzard, and never once did I take it as a racist or racially biased show. So to me, it's just kind of, okay, you know, it's the political climate of this day and age. I get it. We're in a different era now, but I don't, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard was family fun. Like, I don't remember the Dukes of Hazzard being a controversial show at all. So the fact that it came up as something controversial now is just, it's kind of, I'm not saying that the situation's funny, but it's just kind of funny when you think about controversy like that and it's related to the Dukes of Hazzard of all things.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
The belts that you guys have done, and also their rings, but they're also, but they're of the ROH belts. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah. The championship rings that are inspired by like a Super Bowl ring, they're all designed after the medallion of that ROH title. So whether it's the classic title, the world, the tag team, and the television, the ring design, and there are several stars that wear them as part of their character. Jay Lethal and Truth Martini have both worn the rings as part of their character now with their House of Truth gimmick. They're based on the medallion of the actual belt itself.
Okay, I gotcha. Just out of curiosity, those have been out for a while. Are those doing well for you guys?
The belts, I have gotten feedback that the Ring of Honor belts are the best belts that we've ever produced. And coming from the fact that we did belts for ECW, WCW, and WWF, then WWE, that says a lot. Because we've been doing the belts since 1998, and fans, I've been on Reddit, I've seen it on the social media, especially that Ring of Honor Classic title, which is actually the one that is hanging in my son's room. Everyone has said the Ring of Honor belts are the best belts we've ever done. I certainly will not dispute that fact because I think that they're great belts, and I think that we put a lot of time and effort into them. Not that we didn't do that for the other belts. It's just as far as, like, everything's clicking on all cylinders right now. You know, with the design team that we have, the sculptor that we have now, the factory that's helping us produce these things. You know, obviously through the years, we've used different resources, different people. Everything that we have right now is just really clicking. Like, it's a really, truly a team effort, starting with the marketing efforts of myself and getting things approved by the boss and then moving down, you know, the production line. It's really doing well. Ring of Honor stuff is doing well. You know, I never want to shoot myself in the foot and say, hey, you know, we couldn't be doing better, because you could always be doing better, because doing better is just more job security. So, I mean, I think there's a level of popularity there that I wouldn't say it's hit its ceiling, but we could definitely peak more. I think as the figures come out and as Ring of Honor grows as a company as well, be it on pay-per-view or just more exposure on television, I think we'll certainly do much better with it. But it has been a success. It's certainly been doing well, the replica belts obviously being a more popular item, but the rings have moved. You know, like, there are people that will kind of collect the rings, and, you know, they may not be wearing them, but they come in a display box, so putting them on their shelves. But I think the figures right now are kind of stealing the thunder a little bit. I think a lot of people are really waiting for those, and I think that they're going to go neck and neck with the replica belts when they come out.
Very cool.
You guys do the classic DC comic book characters. I would prevent you, just because you're doing DC, would that prevent you from ever doing Marvel? Or at some point, could you ever do, like, the classic Marvel to go with classic DC?
It would all depend on the licensing. You know, at one point, we did reach out to Marvel back in the day, but Marvel's licensing and just the way that they do business with that was a little bit different than what DC does. Marvel is not in the picture right now. I know that they've done similar figures to our DC figures with another distributor, and whereas our figures are around $25 or so, they're charging $80 for a very similar figure that just comes packaged with, like, different outfits and things. So Marvel's looking at what we do as more of a high-end collectability thing, whereas we're obviously trying to keep it affordable for people that want to collect, be it an older fan or getting a younger fan into it. You know, it's a never-say-never business, just like anything. If Marvel came to us, or if we were able to renegotiate at some point, working with DC should not affect that in any way.
It's not like the old comic book wars. Every company is kind of working together at this point, and a little bit they're sharing artists and whatnot. But Marvel's not in the picture at this time. Everything is kind of focused on DC. There's so much to do with DC and so much more coming. Just besides what you guys see, we've got a Flash series coming out, which is perfect timing because the TV show has been such a success. There's a Wonder Woman exclusive wave, a Shazam wave coming out. The Batman 66 characters are going to continue. We've done retro style. I mean, they're all retro style figures, but we did a first appearances wave, which was based on early appearances of Batman, Robin, and Batgirl. That's been a huge success. That just came out about 2 months ago. So DC is definitely keeping us busy. I know I mentioned some of the other lines. We actually are taking pop culture a little bit into more recent years. We have the first Harry Potter retro figures coming out, and we'll be doing Harry, Ron, and Hermione. So they'll be coming out, and I think they'll do really well. And, I'd love to see them sold at Universal Studios. If we could get them in the park at the Harry Potter land, I think that would be a huge hit, because Harry Potter, I mean, just speaking in this household, my wife is a huge fan. I knew nothing of Harry Potter until I got married. From what she tells me and from what I see, I think that that'll be a big success, especially starting with the three main characters.
Now, what about, you just said it's the golden age from DC. Are there any future plans to put more modern characters, let's say do a line based on the Arrow characters from the TV show or anything like that, or is it just mainly just going to stay focused on the golden age?
Right now, there's more of a focus on the golden age and the silver age, although Harley Quinn, who, debuted, she's probably the most recent figure that we've done. She's getting her first ever retro-styled action figure coming up in one of our waves that just went up for pre-order. So, and then with the Suicide Squad movie coming out, and, I mean, Harley Quinn has always been one of DC's more popular characters, that movie coming out and, that Joker-Harley Quinn stuff getting a lot of play, I think that figure is going to do really well. A lot of the, preliminary images that we put up have been getting a lot of hits on social media. Things like Arrow and The Flash based on the television shows goes back to being a fan. I watch both shows. I'm a comic book collector. I'd love to do them, but DC is only allowing us up to a certain level. A lot of the modern stuff is being done either by Mattel or by DC Direct. I've actually got the modern Arrow figure sitting over here on one of my shelves. So in this figure, with DC Direct, DC Collectibles, it's more of, like Craig mentioned, like the McFarlane style, like a more sculpted design, kind of less of an action figure, more statuesque. So I think that's where DC's focus is on that stuff. Although they did put out, if you guys have seen those Funko Pops, like the vinyl bobbleheads, they also now have what they call the reaction figures, and they're kind of made to look like the old Star Wars figures. They have Flash. Yeah, they have a wave of Flash and a wave of Arrow like that. So they are doing something old school with the shows, but they have not allowed us to do anything with the TV shows as of yet.
And you mentioned the Harry Potter line. Another, I guess something in the same genre would be, what about, Lord of the Rings?
That is something that has come up. We don't have anything directly in the works in regards to that line, but it was a title that was brought up to us. I'll be completely honest, that's another license that I really don't know much about. I've never really gotten into the movies or the books, so if you guys are fans, don't hate me, we're still friends. it was something that's come up. A lot of TV shows have come up because prior to getting the DC license, going back about 10 years ago, before we were branding them just directly as Seekers Toy Company, we used the classic TV toys branding, and we did a set of Happy Days, Married with Children, Brady Bunch, Munsters, and I Love Lucy figures. So we've done a lot with TV shows in the past, and obviously doing things like the Dukes of Hazzard and the Dallas J.R. Ewing, that kind of stuff. There's a lot out there TV-wise that we'd be able to do, especially working with Warner Brothers. I personally would like to do shows that I like, but obviously we want things that we know will translate into good business, although I keep telling my boss, I think a set of Saved by the Bell figures will do really well at this point, especially because that's kind of the retro nostalgia feel now, which is why we did guys like Just Incredible and Blue Meanie, the ECW guys, and the Legend set. I think a lot of the nostalgia now, even though guys like us
we're looking back at the shows that we watched growing up in the 80s and everything, that kind of that 18 to 34 demographic for collectors is drifting into the 90s now. So if we did something a little more modern, whether it was to new TV shows like Arrow or The Flash, or even something, you know, like I mentioned, you know, just kind of being goofy, but as much as I would love to do it, Saved by the Bell, I think we're kind of in that era now where the stuff from the late 80s, early 90s is going to start taking more precedent, and that could open up the doors to a lot of stuff that we haven't really looked at yet.
Okay. Go ahead, Craig.
You know, for the last 2 weeks, I'm going to be honest, I have been running from store to store trying to get a complete set of the Force Awakens action figures. And I'm missing one, but that's another story for another time. Is there any reason why your company couldn't go after, let's say, Buck Rogers or Stargate or any of those older type movie franchises where you could actually do a retro style figure?
Like doing like the sci-fi. Actually, we did Space 1999 about 10 years ago. So we've done, you know, the sci-fi level stuff. To do like a Buck Rogers, there's nothing stopping us there. I think Star Trek and obviously Star Wars are the only ones with major licensees that would not allow for it. But Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers, even something more modern like Stargate, it's definitely something that's doable. And I think the sci-fi action fantasy fan base, I think that stuff would translate very well, because that's basically the same as your comic book collector market that's going after DC. There's a lot of crossover there. It's just something, you know, there's at the end of the day, and my boss, the owner of Figures Inc., Anthony, he's a great guy, and he is, you know, he's probably second to none when it comes to pop culture. And I think that's why he and I get along so well. You know, I've mentioned it in the past. I've been there since I graduated high school, but I've always kind of been that fountain of pop culture knowledge, useless trivia, whatever you want to call it. So we always get along well based on our love for things that other people wouldn't even remember half the time. And we brainstorm like once a week, and ultimately it just kind of falls into, where does production lie? Where do our other licenses lie? You know, at the end of the day, both he and I had sat there and said, we'd love to do this, this, and this. You know, we did the Dallas J.R. Ewing, and we only did the J.R., but we had a conversation, oh, how awesome would it be if we did Bobby and Pam and Sue Ellen and the whole set, just because, you know, we're goofballs. We're fans of Dallas. So, like, just coming from that fan perspective, we kind of geeked out for it, something we'd have liked to have seen. But at the end of the day, the more licenses we add, the more figures we do, we're also affecting the business that we have now. So if I went to him tomorrow and said, hey, you know what, had a conversation last night, let's try to get that Stargate license. Let's get six figures done right off the bat. Let's try to get that Saved by the Bell license I've been begging you for. Let's try to get that done. But now you're affecting the Harry Potter figures and the Ring of Honor figures and the Flash. Like, there's only so much that factory could take. You know, that those guys are probably like, come on, really? Another wave of action figures? Well, you know, we've got to go home. We got families. You know, and just, you know, like I said before, you know, we're a toy company. We've got good resources. We've been in business for a long time. But, you know, we're not Mattel or Hasbro. You know, you're talking about huge billion-dollar corporations versus the little engine that could. You know, it's kind of like WWE, WCW, and we're ECW. You know, we're the guys that are doing something cool that people like, but at the end of the day, we still have, you know, we have to work within our means. We have to accentuate the positives, as Paul Heyman would say. And I think that we're doing that. You know, I think we're doing a good job of that. And just as business moves along, if lines are successful, you know, eventually at the end of the day, we're going to hit the end of that rope with Batman 66. We're going to, I mean, DC, I don't want to say we're going to hit the end of the rope with DC, because that would mean we'd have a very long way to go. But just at the end of the day, we're going to, you know, we're going to lose that stride with what we've got, and we're going to say, okay, well, what else can we do? And it's just kind of that endless cycle of things to do. But I can promise you, just from my perspective, with all the stuff that I like and that I'm into, I'm trying to come up with ideas all the time. You know, I'm trying to look 20 years from now at what my son can collect and hang on his wall and store in boxes in the basement and sell on eBay and whatever he wants to do with it. So I'm right there with you as far as that stuff. You know, it's just not my call, but, you know, as the chief marketing officer, that's my job, is to come up with stuff that I think is going to sell and I think is going to translate well. And everything that you've mentioned and everything that we've kind of brainstormed here, I think is all stuff that at the end of the day would do very well, especially like mentioning those sci-fi shows. I think there's a lot of crossover with the comic book market, and
it's something that's lost on people. You know, I think Stargate had those figures, what, about 20 years ago when the movie came out, and that was it?
Yeah.
They have those little, I think they're like the Kenner, Hasbro, like one of the Playmates, one of those groups did those figures. You know, and we used to sell that stuff, too. Before we were actually just a toy manufacturer, we were kind of like eBay before eBay is the way I like to describe it, is that's how we got into business. My boss used to go around to Toys R Us and various hobby shops and stuff and kind of buy up the stock on the toys that were either rare or not selling well and just kind of sell them on the back market. So those early on figures, when I first started at Figures Toy Company, we had a warehouse full of those. Kind of like walking into the back room of a toy store and just, oh my god, we're going to see all this. It was kind of a dream come true.
Chris, we're kind of losing you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Oh yeah, I can hear you now.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. So we've always been into the figures and the different brands and the different varieties. So we're different, you know. When or why?
Yeah, we're losing you.
Oh, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
There.
Okay. I'm walking around the house making sure I get a good signal.
Walk back to where you were.
I wanted to ask you about a line of action figures that came out when I was a little kid. And it was before they got detailed. I mean, these action figures were basically, they were plastic, and they were like a bluish plastic, and then the head was like a silver head, and I don't even remember what they were called, but I remember I had a whole bunch of them, but they didn't last very long. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think. These weren't the ones that had like the hologram on their chest, were they?
I don't remember.
Yeah, like a little hologram sticker.
I don't think so. I just remember they had like plastic hands and feet, but the body. I mean, like that were white. The body parts, like the legs, the arms, were like a bluish or yellowish, and then the head was silver, and it was like the head was like you could see the head, and it was like a ball that you would stick into the chest, basically, and you could move around, and they were pretty cheesy and flimsy and everything, but I just remember having a bunch of them back in the day, and it was like a big line in the 70s, and then basically they just, you know, went out and just no one's ever brought them back or anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure what brand that would be. I mean, the stuff that's running through my head is more of the 80s stuff, so 70s-wise, I'm not sure what they would be. You know, if anyone would know, it would be my boss, so I could find out and get back to you. But I don't have an answer for you tonight. I was thinking more along the lines of, some of those short-lived 80s lines, like the Visionaries or the Silverhawks, something like that. But it sounds like we're going a little bit further back than those guys.
Yeah. This is, like I say, from the 70s. But, Chris, you've been on for quite a bit. So, Craig, do you have any final questions?
No, I actually don't. We've covered a lot here today.
We had a nice long conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Good luck with that boy. I'm glad he's doing well. So
take care
of that kid, man.
I will. I promise you that.
Well, Chris, we really
look forward to seeing you in Dallas.
I will be there, and I look forward to seeing Ed jumping the rail and going after Maria tomorrow night on pay-per-view. Don't do that, Ed. I'm saying that as a joke. Please don't do that. I don't want to get in trouble for encouraging that at all.
No, I'll just add to my already, I already have like hundreds and hundreds of photos of her ass, so I'll just be adding to that collection.
Well, I will be watching on pay-per-view, so you should make a hi, Chris, sign and hold that up so I can mark out for you.
The cameraman from New Japan, they actually stole my gimmick. I was the one who invented the close-ups of Maria's ass.
You got to sue for gimmick infringement. You know, you can make some money off that.
I know. I really need to look into that. But I want to give you a chance to throw out any last plugs you'd have or anything you like information you'd like to throw out there if you already haven't right now.
Oh, sure. Yep. For all the toys that we've been talking about, including the DC Comics and the upcoming Ring of Honor figures, you can check out figurestoycompany.com. That's the official website. Figurestoycompany.com is the Facebook page, and it's also the Instagram. It's at figurestoyco on Twitter. WrestlingSuperstore.com is owned and operated by us. It's where we sell the majority of our wrestling merchandise, such as figures and DVDs. WrestlingSuperstore.com is on Facebook, Wrestling Superstore on Instagram. It's at @WRES_Superstore on Twitter. And just stay tuned because there's going to be some more Ring of Honor announcements coming in the coming weeks. If you haven't seen any of the pictures of the guys like Brian Myers, Joey Ryan, we revealed the Michael Elgin from the ROH set. All those pictures are on the social media, so you can find those there as well.
Cool, very man. Cool. Appreciate you coming on, especially for over an hour. That was pretty awesome. And I want to wish you the best, and we'll see you the WrestleMania weekend. Did Damian talk to you about tickets?
He did mention it to me. He kind of gave me the rundown. So I'm, you know, just give me the scoop, and I'm ready when you guys are. But as of right now, you know, I made sure everything's going to be good on the home front, and it's looking like a definite that I will be joining you guys in Texas.
Awesome. There's only one requirement that I have for you to sit with the group, and that is I need my own personal blue pants action figure, and I'll keep it on the down low so you won't.
See,
get
now,
any
now you're just trying to get
WWE.
Me back in trouble. You're just trying to get me back in trouble with WWE now. See, that's, you know, they're not going to allow me at WrestleMania. I'm going to be waiting for you guys in the parking lot with an umbrella because it'll probably rain with my luck.
Cool, man. Well, Chris, like I said, thanks for coming on, and you have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
Excuse me. Well, that's quick. Couture was on hold the whole time, and he switched over like nothing. So,
I don't know what was up tonight. The thing hung up on me three times. Yeah, it was a heck of a night for blog talk.
Yeah, well, at least it was you and not me because that causes havoc.
It's
because
true.
Then I have to call back in and then call the guest again. And
yeah,
so
true.
I didn't mind it this time. I was actually about to throw it right to you, and then I was like, God damn, you took off. Okay.
Again.
Yeah. So do you guys want to talk about anything before we go?
Yeah, I want to run down the pay-per-view real quick.
I want to talk about dinner. That's what I want to talk about.
You want to talk about what?
Why don't you guys talk about the pay-per-view, and I'm gonna go. Because I'm officially on vacation. I'm on vacation for a couple days, so...
You're not on vacation from the show. You're on vacation from your other job.
Well, yeah, but...
That means you should have more
time
to do the show, you know?
You would think, huh? I don't have time to do jack lately for some reason.
You're out buying little Star Wars robots. How much does that little dude cost you, $100?
Oh, yeah, he was more than that. But we'll talk about that some other time.
I actually thought he was like the size of the movie, but then when I clicked on that link had, he's like, what, 6 inches of that?
Yeah, he's tiny. But you can control him with your iPad and your iPod and your iPhone, and he does really cool stuff. I don't know how to explain it. He's
Which
awesome.
One did you buy?
It's this, his name is BB-8. He's the new droid in the new Star Wars movie.
It looks like Maul.
Yeah. Oh. But it's got, like, electromagnets in it. So the base is round, and his head is half round. And because there's electromagnets in the toy, his head, no matter which way the ball rolls, his head's always on top. It's the coolest thing. And I saw a tutorial online right before what they called Force Friday when everything went on sale, and I had to have the darn thing. And then I went to Amazon, and it was completely sold out. And I was like, okay, now I got to find it because now it's sold out, and you know what I mean? It's sold out, and I can't get it. So I ended up finding it on another site besides Amazon, and my son is totally geeked out by it because you can film yourself, you can make a video of yourself talking or doing whatever, and then
there's, you download the app and you can actually film the thing, you know, the BB-8, and it looks like it's projecting a hologram of the video you just made.
Oh, like the like R2-D2. Your only hope, Obi-Wan. Your only hope.
Exactly.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Are you going to get the drone of the Millennium Falcon 2?
I think my son might end up with that for Christmas. I ain't going to lie. That means I can play with it too.
That's a good thing because, you know, I got two nephews, so they'll be getting all that shit for Christmas. And they have Christmas, so I can play with all that shit. So it's exciting.
All right.
It's kind of,
I don't have to buy anything, but I get to play with it. So it's the best.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I know Katura's not overly familiar with the ROE, so we'll just go ahead and end the show, and we'll just talk about what actually happened on the pay-per-view next week.
That sounds good.
All right, cool.
The WWE?
Oh, yeah, that is right. Yeah. The fucking... All right, we can me and you can run that down then.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, have a fine weekend.
All right. Well, go ahead, Katura, because I don't have the list.
Okay, well, give me 1 second, and I'll find a lineup.
Hello, professional. You want to talk about the pay-per-view lineup in your night?
Well, because I thought Craig was going to be on, and then he always had it still in front of him, doesn't he?
Uh-huh.
So. Anyway. Okay, I found, see which year. Dates and venues. This is much harder than it should be. Okay, here we go. In Houston's Texas this week, so two pay-per-views in Texas this weekend, huh?
They're in, can't believe they went to that shitty-ass city of Houston instead of coming down to San Antonio and should have had it here. Houston sucks.
Let's see, now on the they're doing the pre-show, they're having Neville and the Lucha Dragons against the Cosmic Wasteland of Stardust and the Ascension. They ought to rename them the Descension since they're not going anywhere but down. So,
I'm surprised they actually gave them like a stable name. That's actually kind of cool, at least.
I guess so. I probably won't see this. I never watched the pre-show, so. So you go to the main show. You have the tag team title match with the New Day versus the Dudley Boys. I don't know. I don't think I take the titles off of them yet.
Yeah, but how long can the Dillies be effective before, you know, the nostalgia wears off? So maybe take them off, but then, I don't know, maybe they could win it on a pay-per-view and lose it on Raw or something like that. But New Day has been awesome. The Pink Panther spot, they got to do that every match where Big E or Kofi sneaks up on somebody and Xavier's right next to him playing the Pink Panther music. That was fucking awesome. That was the best.
The trombones, that's going to be like the new tennis racket or telephone, right?
Right, yeah.
Got Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev, which I don't see how anybody could give a shit about.
I like Rusev, but I can't stand Ziggler, so I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Half the program's awesome because Rusev has been awesome, but the other half of it sucks. So, we'll see. It could go either way.
Part of the other half is Nate Kennedy is going to be out for like 4 months, right?
Yeah. Well, they kind of seem like they're changing direction now with like when he gave Summer the gift. So, it's like, it's almost like they're writing Lana out, basically, and it's just going to become like just a regular triangle instead of like a four-way.
Mm-hmm. I still think Rusev and Lana are going to end up back together. But it seems like it makes the most sense to me.
She sucks since she's been away from him, honestly.
Mm-hmm. She sucks as a baby face.
Yeah.
So you got the Wyatt family, it's Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and a mystery partner. I was telling Craig, I have a feeling this is going to be Kane coming back or something.
But how would you tie that into Kane? I mean, what does Kane have to do with the Wyatts and stuff?
Well, nothing, but I mean, you know, he's come back and turn and so many times. It just seems to make sense. It seems like something they would do. So
yeah. All I know is everyone's going to get excited, and it'll probably be the other Uso brother.
You see, it's just like Randy Orton seems too obvious to me because they took him out, so I don't know.
What the deal is Randy Orton? The dude gets to take off, he gets to wrestle for like 1 or 2 weeks, and then he gets like 3 months off, and then he wrestles for another week or two, and then gets 3 months off. It's like...
I don't know, he's
weird.
One of those guys. He's, I don't know, he gets he's earned that kind of spot. So... Yeah, Nikki Bella versus Charlotte for the Divas title.
It was so funny how everyone got all up in arms and got pissed off at John Cena for Nikki Bella breaking the record. It's like as soon as the very first time they brought up the record, you knew she was breaking the record. So why are you blaming John Cena like it's all John Cena's fault? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, no, with AJ Lee having the record, they were going to break it. So
yeah. Why?
You know?
Why go all this time and then cut it short and then you have to redo it and then you have to give somebody else an extended period? Because, like I say, they're going to want to get her name off the record books as soon as possible. So why prolong it? So it's like...
Yeah, now they can change the title, so not that big of a deal. Wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte wins it.
Yeah, so it's so fucking hilarious how John Cena...
I think they're going to break up that Charlotte Paige and Sasha thing.
Well, Paige keeps losing every match, it seems like. She's going to get jealous to turn on the other ones.
And they kind of made a deal about then, you know, Charlotte didn't come help him the other night because she had a match later. So that kind of could play into that. Let's see.
You can also tell that Vince and Kevin Dunn don't give a flying fuck about Becky Lynch.
How's that?
Well, she hasn't done anything, you know, basically. She just got her ass kicked on the last show. She hardly ever... I was almost surprised she wrestled on SmackDown, and I just think that she's not their cup of tea, and I think that Becky Lynch is going to be... I think she has actually had the potential to actually get over out of all of them, but I don't think they're going to let that happen at all.
You got Ryback versus Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental title. I put it on Kevin Owens.
Yeah. That way you could get him back up, you know, have people wanting to wrestle him and stuff. So the match itself could go either way. I mean, Owens is awesome, but it is the Ryback, and, you know, he has his limitations. So it could go either way. I'm not too sure what to expect from that match.
You got Seth Rollins versus John Cena for the U.S. title. Cena's got to be winning it back because that's the only thing that makes sense here.
Yeah. But if he's winning, you'd want to have the winner win the second match. So for that to happen, it's almost like they got to put the world title on first and then close with the U.S. title, which to me sounds kind of stupid. But that's to me, that's the only way it really works if you're going to have Cena win. You know,
well, I don't know about. I mean, if they're going to have Rollins beat Sting, it makes sense for Cena to beat him first so he goes in kind of tired and comes away with the win at the end. So,
I guess.
And Seth Rollins versus Sting, I'd put the title on Sting. Why not? Not going to hurt anything, not going to hurt anyone. So,
well, I wouldn't mind them putting the title on Sting, but then that scares me because someone's a setup for Sheamus to cash in. And the last thing I want in this world is Sheamus to be the world champion. I mean, I just, I'm over Sheamus. And then he's been losing every fucking week. So it's not like you're going to go from at least a champion who's going to have awesome matches to a champion that no one gives a fuck about, really. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have a problem with Sheamus.
I think
he's going to cash.
I think it's past the time where he should be in like the world title picture because the world title is more important now since it's the only one they got. So
yeah.
So Anyway, that's all.
So is that the whole card?
Yeah, that's the whole card.
I'm actually surprised there is only the one women's match on there.
Did Paige get engaged or something? Did she get engaged on that show the other night?
I would not think so, because that whole commercial is so fucking contrived. I mean, the first season and maybe the second season, yes, Total Divas was contrived, but there was some hints of realism, Bree and Brian, John and Nikki and this and that. But it seems like every preview that I've seen for this season, there's no realism in it, whatever. Like, the Stigma page looks so fucking stupid. There was, a week ago, the Bellas were going to be singers or try and sing, and they were, horrible. Mm-hmm. That was just totally designed just to make them look, stupid. I mean, it's not like no one would ever consider them giving them, a recording contract or whatever. So it's this season is, there's nothing. That's the draw, the first season was you get to see some backstage happening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's almost like nothing's real. There's no realism whatsoever on the show at all.
I only watched the first season, so I have no idea. The only reason I know what's going on is from the little clips on Raw. So.
Yeah, I got so turned off from Paige from watching Tough Enough and Tough Talk that it's I don't even want to watch Total Divas. I went from being a big fan of her to just not being able to stand anything about her, basically.
I know she's been wrestling alone for 10 years, but just she came off, to me, she's only been around for a couple, so... The way she acted on the show was kind of, you've been around here for 2 years and, you're acting like you've been in this company for 20. I don't know.
Yeah, she just came off so unlikable to me. So.
Mm-hmm. She came off too fake. She acted like she was playing the Simon Cowell role from, whatchamacallit, the American Idol or something like that.
Yeah, just being loud and obnoxious.
Yeah.
I mean, the Miz was way more likable than her, and that's saying
mm-hmm.
something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, plus, Miz has personality to him. Paige didn't have
yeah.
one.
Yeah, Paige just came off as a bitch, you know what I mean? And
hey, did you finish watching Orange is the New Black, that series?
Yes, I've seen all three seasons so far.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
I love that the end of the second season when the woman escaped and the woman with cancer run her over with van.
That was awesome. That was probably one of the best episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Fuck, dude. I had something from the show I was going to say and I fucking forgot. I can't believe it took me so long to figure out that was fucking Lori Petty. I just caught her name on the credit, and I was like, Lori Petty, what the fuck? She's on here, and then I realized that it's that the crazy one that came from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That what's her name? Thought was the assassin sent to kill her and stuff. So I guess they're writing her off because the last scene was basically where the hitman was coming to kill her and stuff. But
yeah.
Kind of interested to see where next year goes when they're all hanging out at the lake. They bring in the busloads of more people, and they made all the beds, bunk beds, and so I guess they're going to add a bunch of characters. But what I like about this show is they can take the characters that have no redeeming qualities that at one point of the show you just totally hate, and then
mm-hmm.
they can babyface them. You know what I mean? Like the religious bitch. You know what I mean? It's like they actually baby-faced her at the last season. It's kind of a trip. But I love Crazy Eyes. Crazy Eyes is the fucking best. And then that one little Latina, I can't believe they haven't done a backstory on her yet, but the little tiny petite one, that fucking chick is fucking fine.
There's so many on there. I'm trying to figure out which one you're talking about.
Well, on the Latinas, there's the two that are kind of catty, and one of them's she cut off her finger, her pinky or something. like the tip of her pinky got in the food, that one.
Oh, okay. I know.
She's taking Montana, or what the fuck, the crazy religious one, she's taking her job as a driver, so the next season, that dude's probably going to start trying to rape her. That'll probably be one of the storylines.
Yeah.
So. But we'll go ahead and wrap up, and let me throw out the plug. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Stream Our Show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. You can also download the Stream Our Show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo.
Yeah, you go to youtube.com/Cotrere. I got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. Anybody want to take a look at it? So.
Cool. And we'll be back next week, and I'm sure I'll have plenty to say about the big ROH weekend. I didn't buy tickets till today. Well, I already had one for Saturday. A friend of mine got one, but I didn't buy the Friday one till today. I was giving WWE or NXT every last chance to announce Blue Pants on the show, but since she's not, fuck that, I'm going to ROH.
Okay.
But we'll be back next week, so everybody, we'll talk to everybody then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix, shit. Let's go, hook him up!
Tonight.